I don't know just what I'll say or what I'll do. I got some things on my heart and on my mind that I wanted to make mention of tonight, but I don't know that I'll get to do it. I'm hoping that I will. If the Lord saw fit to talk with us just a little bit tonight, how many of you would give me a little time? Appreciate that. Appreciate that. I try my best to find the leading of the Lord and try to do just exactly what He would have me to do. I try not to go in any direction that I feel that would not be right. Try to go in the direction that I feel would be pleasing to Christ. And that's why that I'm so slow, like the snail, you know, like the turtle. I take my time before I decide what to do. Because one wrong move and then we'll displease Him, and we've taken the service out of His hands. And when you take the service out of His hands, then, as far as I'm concerned, we can all dismiss and go on. But in that we know that we're here to worship Him tonight, we want it to be in His hands and to do whatever He says. Let's just turn over to 2 Chronicles 35 and just consider for just a little bit tonight. The first verse, moreover, Josiah kept a Passover unto the Lord in Jerusalem, and they killed the Passover on the 14th day of the first month. And he set the priests in their charges and encouraged them to do the service of the house of the Lord, and said unto the Levites that taught all Israel, which were holy unto the Lord, put the holy ark in the house which Solomon the son of David, king of Israel, did build. It shall not be a burden upon your shoulders. Serve now the Lord your God and his people Israel, and prepare yourselves by the houses of your fathers after your courses, according to the writings of David, king of Israel, and according to the writing of Solomon his son, and stand in the holy place according to the division of the families of the fathers of your brethren, the people, and after the division of the families of the Levites. So kill the Passover and sanctify yourselves and prepare your brethren, that they may do according to the word of the Lord by the hand of Moses. And Josiah gave to the people of the flocks, lambs, and kids all for the Passover, offerings for all that were present to the number of 30,000 and 3,000 bullocks. These were of the king's substance. And his princes gave willingly unto the people, to the priest and to the Levites, Hilkiah and Zechariah, and Jehiel, rulers of the house of God, gave unto the priests for the Passover offerings 2,600 small cattle and 300 oxen. Quaniah also, and Shimei, and Nathaniel and his brethren, and Abashah, and Jael, and Jozabad, chief of the Levites, gave unto the Levites for Passover offerings 5,000 small cattle and 500 oxen. Now, I ministered on this one night and read this concerning the Passover. I thought I'd just refresh your mind just a little bit on these readings tonight. Josiah, being a great king, brought in a new order. Isn't that right? Nobody had ever brought in an order, a new order, like Josiah's. He done away with all the wrong, everything that was unlike God. He done away with it, and he brought into a governmental way a new order that could benefit the people and be of great service to God. That's what God's looking for today. God's looking for somebody that will bring in a new order, not moving the landmarks of the old fathers, but rather bring in a new order that will be beneficial to the people and to God. That's what God wants. God is tired of the old way of life, you know, that has transgressed His covenant over and over and over and used for an excuse, ignorance. Today, we're not ignorant, folks. Today, we know what's going on. Today, we understand. How do you understand what's going on tonight? Now, I want to talk with you a little bit if I can. And if I can't, well, we'll just close the book. But Today we have a new president. I guess most of you know that by now. You've already heard the radios. And according to what I've understood, it has went just exactly the way that I felt it would go. I felt that God would bring in a new order, and what he had revealed to me, the new order would center around Atlanta, Georgia. We had made the statement that Carter would be president if they had to kill Ford to make him president. And again, we repeated that statement to my wife the night before the election. As she asked me what I thought about it, I said, "Betty, it's hard to explain to the brethren what I try to say." I said, "But Carter will be the president if they have to kill Ford to put him in." And so then he is the new president. And of course, being the president of the United States, it has brought to pass the prophecy that we gave a long time back, even before there was ever anything in Atlanta, Georgia, in the way of a foreign meeting, or even before Kissinger ever suggested or anything was ever said concerning it, even before it was ever known of me that there was to be built in Atlanta, Georgia, an international headquarters for World Council. Even before this, we prophesied that the government would move to Atlanta, Georgia. Now then, there's a good thought right there. To ask this question, for instance, who is the government, the king or the palace? How do you know which is the government? Which is the government, the king or the palace? The king. So then the government must have moved to Atlanta, Georgia, even though the buildings of Washington are still setting up yonder near Virginia. All right, so it stands to reason that the government has moved to Atlanta, Georgia, like we said that it would. And as I said, that was long before there was even anything ever even mentioned in any way about a Carter running for president. But all of a sudden, God brings him up out of Atlanta, Georgia, and the government has, as of this day, moved to Atlanta, Georgia, and the prophecy is fulfilled this day that we made a long time ago. Not only is it fulfilled in that the government has moved to Atlanta, Georgia, but there is going to be an operation and transaction out of Atlanta, Georgia. They've already made the statements that Atlanta, Georgia was Carter's headquarters. And Betty and I had discussed it before the election that we felt that Carter would start an operation in the plains of Dura, and there in the plains of Dura bring about the image that we spoke of would come up, and that in coming up that they would transact business of Washington in the plains of Dura. And there would be buildings erected there for that cause. And already Carter has made the statement, said that the people might as well to get prepared for it, for there would be some of his business from Washington transacted in the plains of Dura. So that means that the thing, Brother Sweden, is falling right to the line, step by step. Everything is coming in just exactly the way that we felt it would come in. And in this, I see a great happening. Now, today I spent probably an hour or more and went through a great deal of it with about 8 to 10 men because they were real hungry and the anointing was real strong. And we covered it in a way to where that those that were listening could understand that something out of the ordinary was taking place. So then we see that something has taken place. Now, I wonder if we could elaborate on it just a little bit. I can't do anything unless the anointing will work with me or through me. And I have to be dependent on God because I don't know anything of myself, and I don't know of anybody else that does that's spiritual. And I'm dependent on God to tell me and God to show me. That's why that I'm reluctant to ever pick any certain night and say, "Well, I'm going to do this tonight," because if it isn't God's night to do it, then you can't do it. So I try to feel everything out and find out if the people are hungry that night, If the anointing is right that night, see, any time the people get hungry, God is ready. But a lot of times, God doesn't prepare their hearts to be hungry because He wants to do things on certain days and certain nights that will better benefit His kingdom. Now, God doesn't regard days. He doesn't regard times and seasons. But He does have a way of doing things to make things fit together, to give us a heavenly education or a spiritual understanding. Isn't that right? Through allegoric means. And so then we see that since the thing has moved to Atlanta, Georgia, that it is shaping up the way that we felt like it would. Having predicted or prophesied, not a prediction, we openly prophesied and stated it would happen in Atlanta, Georgia. But having give forth the predictions for Atlanta, Georgia, Kissinger immediately come in, and to me, this is what I see in it, he come in and then he laid the foundation for the coming in of Carter in Atlanta, Georgia. And Carter apparently taken courage by seeing the weakness of Washington and seeing the light turning toward Atlanta, Georgia, took a stride toward the presidency. And then seeing what Martin Luther King had done, in that he had stirred the nation and the world by moving the way he did among the black people, Carter decided that he not only would get the black support, but thousands and thousands of white people would support him if he moved toward the black man. Having seen Luther do that, he saw the whites that also supported the cause. So he pieced it all together and took courage and stepped out in Atlanta, Georgia, knowing that the presidency was in such a condition that nobody was really concerned about anybody that was running anyway. So he saw his opportunity. He took full advantage. But I want you to notice just one or two things as I just talk with you a little tonight. First of all, remember the Bible said that Antichrist would come up with a little people. Isn't that right? The blacks are supposed to be about 15% among the people in this country. Though there's many hundreds and thousands in Africa and other places, it might be perhaps 15% or a little more. But he was supposed to come up with a little people. And if you notice that Carter got with the blacks, which is a small people. And if you notice that coming up, he also came up with the common man. He went from store to store and from business to business and solicited their favor, coming right up with the little people. Is that right? And the rich people, as far as we know, supported Ford. And the poor people, as far as we know, as far as they can tell, supported Carter. So then we see that he came up in the way that God said he would come up. Now, I hope you can understand what I'm saying. I said that Kissinger would make the way far, and yet there's some things to come, but I want to mention some things tonight to bring to your notice. Now, first of all, Carter has shifted the work to Atlanta, Georgia. Last night, about 25,000 people, I understand, met Carter over at the World Congress Building. How do you know when they mocked David when he danced before the Ark of the Covenant with all of his might? It upset the Lord, didn't he? Don't sit in the seat of the scornful. Just listen. This is a time of crisis. Just listen. And so then, about 25,000 people, as far as I can tell, met him over at the World Congress Building. Now, there's a lot in that to me. I want to talk with you tonight now. If you get me moved, I'll have to preach to you. But I want to talk to you just like Jesus did when he sat in a little boat and pushed out and taught him. I just want to talk with you and try to open your understanding. The Bible said as he talked with them, by the way, the understanding was open. Now, Carter coming to Atlanta, Georgia, about 25,000 people came to meet him there at the World Congress Building. Now I want you to see something here. See the victory come in. Carter immediately moved into the World Congress Building. The 200 years of government is over, past, and gone, and America's government is finished.
Now, I know Carter made the statements that he was going to put the government back into the hands of the people. He cannot put the government back into the hands of the people. There is no way he can do it, and that's not his plans, and that's not his intentions. You'll find out that his plans and intentions is to bring about a world monarch. I made the statement that Nixon, when he went to Israel, that was the end of him, that he would go out, and after that, that would be the end of the presidency, and that from that it would go into a monarch. And immediately you remember how that they did not elect the next president in, and that was proven because they didn't elect him when they had the chance to elect him. They did not elect him in, isn't that right? Now, if it had went the other way and they'd elect him in and he had stayed in, it would have shown a little different color. But they did not elect him in, and then later we learned that his name was King. I heard that his name was King, but I didn't know it until Betty picked up a book somewhere and we read it and got a little history, and his name is King. Ford's name is King. So then the king came in. We said it would go into a kingship, and God willing to confirm what we had said, the more let the man's name be King. All right, now like we spoke about over here in Memphis, how everything would spring up in Memphis and move to Atlanta, Georgia. Spoke about that river over there having to do with the Euphrates. How remember that? All right. So then in Atlanta, Georgia, the World Congress Building, for the first time, had its new government. Or had a government, we'll say. The new government got its start. Is that right? So then, Mr. Carter, or President Carter, for the first time, the government is in Atlanta, Georgia. It's in Atlanta, Georgia. We predicted that Atlanta would become an international city, or one of the greatest cities in the world. Is that right? I believe, I'm not sure, but I believe I heard a statement today that might put just a little light on that. I believe this, is it Coretta Young, or Coretta King? Is that her name? What was the statement she made concerning Atlanta? Somebody tell me. The center, she looked on it as the center of the world. And of course, Atlanta is known to be the hub city of the South. How do you know that? The wheel in the middle of the wheel. All right, so then we see that in Atlanta, Georgia, the government has at last moved into Atlanta, Georgia, has shifted from Washington to Atlanta, Georgia. Now, you might say, Brother Pike, what does that mean? You'd be surprised what that has to do with concerning your soul. See, that has to do with the lake of fire and everybody that's going to go in it. That's right. The move from Washington to Atlanta, Georgia has to do with the burning lake of fire and those that are going to be cast into it. Now, I wish we could get into it tonight and bring it out step by step in the natural like I'd like to do, and then follow up with the spiritual that you might understand. I wanted to do it and I still want to do it. It don't look like I'm going to get to do it because I can feel an interference to where the Lord might be stopping me and holding me back. I'm going to try a little more. I'm not going to press against the Spirit. If you don't want it, then I won't go that route. But if you be reverent and talk to God and let the Spirit and the anointing move, then we'll try to bring out some of the things tonight. Now, I'd like to be able to get it on tape to where we could keep it and where others would be able to hear it that's not here. Now, little Bethlehem has a great meaning in the plan of God, in what I understand. We're settled on the fact that the government has moved to Atlanta, Georgia. Is anybody that doubts that? Would you raise your hand if you doubt that the government has moved to Atlanta, Georgia? All right, then we are settled on the fact that the government has moved to Atlanta, Georgia, in that the king is the government and not the palace. All right, so then the government is in Atlanta, Georgia. We're satisfied over the fact that the plains of Dura has to do with the days of Daniel and the coming forth of the image of the beast. We're satisfied with that. Now, I made the statement that at the resurrectional type of my brother Charles coming over, that it would also have to do with the resurrection of Kennedy. Isn't that right? And I said that Carter was so much like Kennedy, and not only was he so much like him, but that he represented the coming forth of the healing of the wound, and it was Kennedy coming back to life. Not knowing that his name was Kennedy, and in a little while they found out that he was an illegitimate child, and that his name was Kennedy. That he was of the Kennedys. And he made the statement that he would heal the wound of America. Is that right? Wasn't that what he said? Now, folks, I want to ask you a question. How much plainer can things get? How much plainer can they get than that? After we had made the statement was the healing of the wound, he came back and said, I will heal the wound of America. Now, I don't mean to get to preaching to you, but I want to get your attention. I want you to draw a little bit so I can talk with you. All right, now, here comes Carter, a nobody. He made the statement in the paper. He said a few weeks ago, I was a nobody. Isn't that right? He didn't have not near enough money to run for a president. But he did it anyway, didn't he? Not only did he run, but he won and won by a landslide from what we can see. Now, the Lord did that. I made the statement, I said, God will raise up Jimmy Carter. And when Carter had the debate with Ford, if you recall, in their dispute, our differences, Carter lost out the first time. Now, when he lost out, I said it had to do with the king rejecting the one that was sinful and the casting out of Satan. Is that right? Whereas the brethren got kind of confused because I had made the statement that Carter was the man-child to be caught up to the throne. And after that, I had the brethren to begin to question me and quiz me. And I could tell that some of them was doubting what I said. I tried to explain it and they didn't seem to understand it, so I just passed it on by. And they kept saying, well, who do you think will go in? And which way do you think will go, Brother Pike? I'd already told them. I'd already explained to them. And so then when they didn't understand, I made the statement. I said, now, brethren, remember this. Carter is not through. I said, the Father has to reject the Son. At Calvary, the Son came forth. And though he was eligible for the throne, he had to be rejected. Ford being in the God place, that is as a king in Washington, what did he have to do? He had to reject the oncoming Son. Is that right? He had to reject Jimmy Carter. And in doing it, it was because of a sinful thing. Now remember, Jimmy was going strong, just like Jesus when he come on the scene, he was going strong. All of a sudden when he got mixed up with the Playboy thing, and they published an article, Jimmy took a great blow because they thought that his life was filled with corruption. Isn't that right? Wasn't that exactly what happened to Jesus? He was going strong until they realized that he was made sin. Is that right? And then the Father rejected him. And it looked like that Jimmy had lost out. And that's when I made the statement. I tried to explain as best I could that it wasn't the Jesus that was caught up to the throne. It was the Christ that was caught up to the throne. The Jesus was rejected and the Jesus was nailed to Calvary. Is that right? And then when it went down into the heart of the earth, then the Christ came up. And the Christ went up to the throne. Is that right? So I said, Jimmy is not finished. I said, he's not through. And he came right back and he won the debate. Isn't that right? And then ascended to the throne. So then, in this that we had seen concerning the man-child. First, he was to be sin and rejected. Next, he was to be the Christ in the type. How many of you know that they turned to him as a Savior? And drawed the pictures of the beard and so forth and put his name JC. Is that right? Jesus Christ. Is that right? Jimmy Carter. They put it that accepting him as a Savior, and it is a true fact that you will see this happen. Now that he is in office, you will see a great relaxing come over the people. They will not be tense anymore. They'll begin to relax and they'll just feel like their Savior has come, that everything's all right and the presidency isn't mixed up anymore and everything's going to work out fine. Now watch and see if it don't come to pass. There'll be an air of confidence, an air of rest that will sweep over the nation. And in this, they will safely confide in Jimmy as having the answers, and Jimmy will have the answers. He'll be, to begin with, in what time he's left in there, if it's a day, week, month, year, whatever, he'll be the greatest president that you've ever had. That's right. Won't be a greater president that's ever been in office as far as doing something for the people. Now, I'm not speaking of Washington and the different ones concerning spiritual things, but I'm talking about a president. Notice this, that I made the statement everything would become religious in the end time. Remember that? I said it will become religious. It'll move into the politics and everything. And they made the statement that Jimmy Carter was the only president that they've ever had that ever stood up and testified of his religion and put it out the way that he did. Now somebody said, well, Kennedy did it. Kennedy did not do it. Kennedy said that he wouldn't bring his religion into it. That's what he said, and did do it after he got in office. That's what he did. Now, but Jimmy boldly stated that he would not compromise his religion and his conviction to have the office of the president. He made that statement. And of course, God loves that kind of doings. All right, now, we made the statement, and there's a lot to be said tonight, if I can say it, and I'm beginning to find an outlet here for it. We made the statement that in moving from Washington, that it would have to do with the end of the church ages, that Washington was a symbol of the spirit of truth, and that with the moving of the government from Washington, that the church days would be over. It would symbolize the sealing in of the bride. Is that right? And the woman's era would be over in that America is a woman's world. And that at the time that her government was to end, that at that very time it would mean that the man child had been born that would rule with a rod of iron. Is that right? How do you remember when they put Jimmy Carter in a diaper, in a pitcher, called him the man child? Did you know that this morning when I turned the radio on to see what was said about the victory of Carter, they stated, said, you've got a new president, Jimmy Carter. Everything stopped and a baby started to bawling. I'm telling you the truth. Started to bawling just exactly like a newborn babe that had been spanked. And that's all I heard. I never heard anything else till I cut the radio off. Now, I don't know how it got there and why it happened, but that should happen. So then, see, there is something that is taking place that is abnormal to the usual way of life, folks. At the same time that we spoke of these things taking place, we spoke of a changeover in the spiritual perspective. Is that right? Now, let me go try to stay with me. A changeover in the spiritual perspective. We predicted that Brother Walden would go into Canada and there his ministry would be over in this way, that it would indicate the church being shut in. Is that right? In Canada, Brother Walden did exactly that. He went in and then there came prophecy of his destruction or something happening to him. After that he got into Canada, he made a call just a few days ago. He made a call to get in touch with me and to talk with me. It's just been two or three mornings back that he called me. And Brother Walden said, Brother Pike, I'm greatly troubled. You remember I made the statement that Brother Walden needed to get away from the full gospel businessmen. All right, now, I preach for him, a lot of good people among them, but you can't join up with him, you can't hook up with him. That's one mistake that Brother Branham felt like that he had made. That's the only thing he ever joined was the full gospel businessmen, and he kept saying that he's going to get out of that if they didn't quit doing the way they were doing. He realized he made a mistake as far as his thinking, and yet the steps of a righteous man is ordered by the Lord. God had him to do it because it was God's plan. Jesus died, he found his tomb with Joseph the rich man, is that right? Which was Brother Branham, had to do with Brother Branham. And so then I said that Brother Walden ought to withdraw from them, but he did not. I got the call, he said, Brother Pike, said, I'm greatly troubled. He said, I've been with these people and I preached for a long time. He said, but these people won't accept holiness and they won't turn to holiness. and said, it's gotten me trouble. And said, the charismatics are pulling at me over here, and the full gospel businessmen are pulling at me over here. Now, you know, a lot of times, folks, even great men can get caught in a trap. But God works it that way. He allows it, just like Samson and David. It's God's plan for a man to fulfill God's place. Isn't that right? So, a lot of times we get the idea that we can make the leopard change his spot, and we jump right over in the middle of a situation. And then when we get over there, we find out that the leopard can't change his spots, and we can't make him change his spots. Is that right? The leopard can't change his spots. The Ethiopian can't change his skin. Neither can they that are accustomed to do evil do good. Is that right? We get right in the middle of it thinking we can change him. And suddenly we become aware of the fact, though we've received prestige and support in all of these things, that we've jumped right into the middle of a situation and we've become in bondage to them and have come to the place to where we are their subjects rather than they being our subjects. Isn't that right? And the wealthy will invest in your enterprise, and then after they invest in your enterprise, then they'll get their hands on you. Is that right? And they'll put strings on you. The Lord sent me to Brother Walden, as you very well know. And at that time, Brother Walden did not move into the things that God had for him. And you remember the death that struck. You remember the trouble that happened. And he went down, down, down. Many stones passed from his body. I made the statement it has to do with the church crossing over the Jordan, those stones, you remember that? And that he would turn his face toward Canada. Is that right? He did it. Going into Canaan land. Now, he got down so that the brethren here gave him $1,000 that had to do with the millennium of going in. $1,000 to help him. He made the statement, he said, if it had not been for the money that the brethren gave to him, that he would not have been able to survive, that he didn't even have food for his children. All right, now, God brought him back up, made him greater than ever. He's on numbers of radio stations. He's got a hotel down somewhere in the south. He's got three big campgrounds, one in Canada, got one down here in South Georgia, one over here in Magnet, and got a big theater building over here in Conyers. He's going strong. A publication, many radio stations. God has really blessed him. He's come back up. But I said that the ministry would change because it has to do with a time that I can't elaborate on freely, but Sister Betty will know what I'm speaking of. It has to do with our trip in our early ministry as we went through Johnson, Tennessee, and wound up in Battle Creek, Michigan. Now, she probably will know what I'm speaking of here. This has to do also with the Carter campaign and with the Ford campaign. How do you know where Ford's headquarters was, or home? You understand? All right, now, so then, not to say a lot of things here. When I go to get off on another limb, I feel your thoughts get scattered and it's hard for me to keep you together. I just have to kind of work with you like children, you know. People get fearful and afraid and they get scattered and they lose their thoughts and they get nervous. So you have to just keep a pattern all the time, a trail that they can see to follow. All right, so then, Brother Walden called us. He said, I'm much troubled. He said, I've not backslid on God, Brother Pike. He said, I've not done anything like that. But he felt that he had made some mistakes. Now, he wanted us to talk to him concerning what we felt was going to transpire in the next little bit. He said, I've got confidence in you, Brother Pike. Great respect for you folks. He asked for our prayers, and this is what he said. He said, I am going to have to get away from this. I forget the exact word expression, but he said, I am going to have to start preaching to the poor and get away from the rich. Now, you see what I'm saying? I'm going to have to completely change over, he said, completely change my ministry, start preaching to the poor, and preach revelation. Now, you follow me? I could say some more here, but I better not. All right, now, this indicates the fulfillment of the statements that I had made, that in Canada, that cycle would end. You see, it ended. It's over. It's changed. It's gone. You follow me? When he got there, a Trinitarian woman had went in down here in South Georgia to his office, had given some prophecy that apparently was greatly troubling him of his destruction. I believe he left today for Jerusalem. Said he wanted to come by here and be with us when he come back. Now, that went out. That indicated the end of that ministry. He said, I've got to completely change my ministry. Now, what was he going to change it to? The same thing that we're doing right here, which indicates that era over, the church sealed in, and now the move of God on here concerning this. You follow me? All right, now, in what Brother Walden pointed out, it showed that there was a change. Now, if he completely turns around, it's going to shake up the full gospel businessmen and the charismatics because he's a broad figure out there. And I made the statement, I said he'll broaden himself among the people and then God will bring him right on in and it's to turn the people back to this. Is that right? I said it will be that way with George Jr. going out there, even in sin, meeting people all over the nation, and they'll turn right in here and capture their attention right here. I said that concerning a number of other brethren, Brother Terrell and a number of other brethren, that the same thing would happen, and everything would be turned in this direction. Now, I saw Brother Green is coming to Atlanta, Georgia, in that he represented the Brother Branham following, been in about 90 countries, and is about the only man that's left out there that's representing Brother Branham's following that's really doing any good and drawing the people. He had an overflow crowd in Atlanta, Georgia. I saw him as he coming to Atlanta, Georgia, and that ending that cycle in that he was the one that had the Tucson Tabernacle in Arizona. All right, he came to Atlanta, Georgia. When he got up there, they had an overflowing crowd. Everything was going just fine. The people was crying. It's such a wonderful meeting, they tell me. But Brother Marlowe, which is here at the campground, just had come off of a five-day fast, went up there to the place where Brother Wilson's at. Remember now, I led Brother Wilson in and baptized him in the name of the Lord. He's like a breach over. He has to do with the sounding of the first trumpet. How many remember that trumpet that he got from a girl by the name of Mary Atlee? Can you remember that far back when he was up there? I spoke up, we had that meeting. You remember that? And this trumpet down here of little Brother Dwight's has that second, you know, the moving on, the sounding of the next trumpet. I can't get in that because some of you wasn't there, you know, doing our meeting up there. You wouldn't even know what I was talking about. But Brother Atlee raised his hand. Brother Taylor, you remember that. All right, now, Brother Green being there in Atlanta, Georgia, Brother Marlowe got up and prophesied that the brethren had not walked in the ways of the prophet William Branham, had not obeyed and not done what God had commanded them to do, which is absolutely the truth. Now, some of them say, well, Brother Pike, I believe the prophecy was false. Some of them done come and told me that. Whether false or whether not false, when he made that statement, if that's what he made, that is true. I happen to know that that's true. They said immediately Brother Green got up, and when Brother Green got up, that his face was real red. He got up and he did not receive the prophecy, but rather came against the prophecy and said, we don't know this man, and this man, as far as we know, is not one of us, and that's not God. And if it was God, the walls would fall in if he was of us. And said it caused the confusion because even Brother Tidbull, when he got up, there was a depression or something changed the atmosphere and he couldn't enjoy singing. Now, I don't know if maybe there's some of you that might have been up there. I don't know whether you was or not. But anyway, what Brother Green did not realize, and I'm not contrary to Brother Green because I believe he's a fine man. I believe he's done a great thing. But what he didn't realize was at this time the spiritual walls are falling in. God is a spirit. That's the whole thing. Then it was to go over here to Brother Billy Andrews. And Billy represented Brother Branham. Some of you remember me speaking about it. I helped lead Billy in too. When Billy's ministry was just completely gone, we helped lead him in. And God picked him up and gave him a great ministry when he was gone. Met him in the Carolinas. Now, Billy confessed that himself, that was true. Now, you follow me? Going over to Murfreesboro, Brother Green goes over there. To me, that's the end of it. And from there, it changes to Little Bethlehem. How do you know that them benches you're sitting on come from Billy's over here? And I spoke of them when they come here that it had to do the changeover. I said, we'll wind up with Billy's benches, and what I understand, it'll change it over to Little Bethlehem. Is that right? You're sitting on them right now. Right now, in this changeover, I knew that it had to do with the coming of the Lord and the resurrection of the dead and the unified efforts of the body, soul, and spirit as far as the confederation of churches and as far as the church is concerned in Christ. I said, when Dale, Cynthia, George Jr. call Ricky, I said, when you see that trio come together, I said, it's a long time ago. When they come together, I said, as far as I know, they'll come back together. When they do, it will have to do with the resurrection of the dead and the church being called out. Some of you remember some of these statements. I said, when this tent come in down here that Brother Wilson was preaching under in the Carolinas, I said, this has to do with the rapture of the church. Now, Brother Green going over to Brother Billy's, now what bearing does that have on what we're doing? Brother Green at this time and Brother Tidbull out of Nashville is taking my songs to put them into a songbook to send them to the Brother Branham following. Now you know that David's songs represented his ministry, is that right? So was Solomon's, which indicates the changeover, just like we said, to Little Bethlehem. The weeping, the gnashing of teeth, Nashville, the resurrection from the dead. It goes back to a whole lot of Revelation. The green tent that Brother Hollis and him had and the white tent and the platforms. It just takes so much tonight to go into it. But a lot of it's on tape, but you can go back and dig it out and find out what I'm talking about. I'll have to write a book tonight to bring in the tithes, the additives. All right, now, Carter was at that World Congress building last night. And there, the new government started. Now, the new government started. Now, I said that Carter will make a monarch out of it, that he was changed over, not just to a presidency, but I believe and understand that Carter will try to completely change it. Now, he said, I'm going to put the government back in the hands of the people. But what he's really going to do is try to change it over to a monarch thing to where they won't even be a presidency anymore. And instead of being a leader to the nation, he wants to be a leader to the entire world and will make an effort to bring in a world peace. The battle is not between Carter and Ford, because I said that Ford was just a decoy that was set in there, a fill-in, a breach over. Isn't that right? Amen. Now, to bring in what God was going to do. And I believe they checked up his name and it means breach. Breach over. But anyway, the battle is not between Carter and between Ford, nor between Washington and Atlanta, Georgia. But the battle is between Carter and Kissinger. That's where the battle is. The battle is between Carter and between Kissinger. Kissinger had plans to rule the world and still has the plans. Carter has plans to rule the world. And the battle is between Kissinger and between Carter. And Carter has already made the statement that if he gets in office, out goes Kissinger. Now, what does that have to do with it? Well, remember Kissinger was to be a betrayer to the Jews. You remember me saying that? Paving way for Antichrist? Making the way even for Carter here in Atlanta, Georgia, by having that world meeting over here. Isn't that right? Spotlighting America. I saw the nations come into Atlanta, Georgia in a vision, and they looked over Atlanta, Georgia. And right now, they've got their eyes on Atlanta, Georgia. But they rejected Atlanta, Georgia. And when they did, the voice said, Atlanta, Georgia will burn. Now, in the burning of Atlanta, Georgia, it had to do with what Brother Branham predicted in that thing that would come about, that he saw the end of things in 77. Now, in the battle between Kissinger and Carter, Now, why is the battle between Kissinger and Carter? Why would it be between Kissinger and Carter? Because Kissinger represents the 10 toes. Now, let's look at it for just a few minutes. He went over to Israel. They accepted him. He made some agreements with them. And then turned around and broke the agreements and called them foolish. Is that right? When Jimmy Carter started to running for president, I said it's the man-child going up and it is the red dragon going out. Is that right? Kissinger represents communism, the red dragon. The man-child going up. What happened over here? Not only does Washington represent heaven, but Israel represents heaven. And what happened? The paper stated that the Jews here in America got together, had their little conference. They called a judgment. They rejected Kissinger, said he could no longer be a Jew. He could no longer be part of any work of the Jews or anybody that is a Jew in Israel. Is that right? Couldn't have nothing to do with it anymore. They were upset at him. He made himself their God. Is that right? And then went over there and broke their covenant. Is that right? Because he went into a hotel and ordered ham, which is against the covenant of God. Is that right? With the Jews. Now, if you understand what I'm saying, swine meat desecrating the altar, boldly ordered ham and eggs. So they were upset about it, and they cast him out of heaven. Come on, folks. Yeah. So I said, Brother Pike, you don't mean to tell you. Yes, I do mean to tell you. How do you know that the government's going to go back over yonder to Israel, and when it gets back over there, that the man-child's going to sit on the throne, and that's going to be the new earth headquarters? How do you know that? Right over there at Israel. Somebody said, that's going to be on the new earth. No, sir, it's going to be on this earth right here. I ain't going to be on the new earth. When the new earth comes, that's when the Ancient of Days takes over. I'm talking about 1,000 years with Jesus. After the 1,000 years, the wicked dead lives again. Is that right? Second resurrection. All right, then examine it. Where does that put us? If Kissinger is rejected by the Jews, then there's hatred, malice, and strife between him and the Jews. Is that right? Now, if Kissinger is working for a world peace and a world power, though he would want the Jews in it to rule over them, yet he wouldn't want them in it to have any power, knowing that they'd cause him trouble. Is that right? So then, that's where the Jews is excluded from the world pact. Knowing that Kissinger's going to have part in that world pact, they're going to reject it. And when they reject it, Carter coming up, now I want you to see this, when Carter comes up over here, he's already promised to support the Jews. But Kissinger's been rejected. Is that right? Kissinger rejected by the Jews. All right, that's Benjamin. Kissinger rejected by America, Jimmy Carter. That's Joseph. Is that right? He has no place with God in America. He has no place with God in the Jewish religion. So then the bitterness and all that would come up, there wouldn't be but one place left for him. That's the powers of communism to bring in the powers of the 10 toes. You follow me? Because he's got prestige, honor, and power with them. To be cast out of America is to be cast out of heaven and to wind up in the old country. Is that right? All right, now, somebody said, well, I don't believe it. Why don't you wait and see? If it is true, if it is true, and if it is God speaking, then you're in trouble tonight because of some of you that the spirit you've got. You're in trouble because if it's God, then you've done that way toward God. That's the way Sarah did, you know. She laughed. Said, I didn't laugh. The angel said, yes, you did. So see, with that kind of spirit, you're in trouble if it's God. All right, now, it's reasonable to think that if the other was God, that this will be God too. All right, now the Bible said, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. If a prophet prophesies something, come to pass and fear that prophet, because God is in the prophet. Somebody said, well, I fear the word. It didn't say fear the word, it said fear the prophet. Was that what it said? Why? Because it means he's got connections with God somewhere. Now, a reverence and a respect. Somebody don't want to respect the ministry. I'm not saying I'm a prophet, you got to respect the ministry. I'm a minister. You owe me some respect. There's a lady sitting here that owes me some respect just as a minister. Amen. All right, now, so then, in what I'm saying, the war is between Kissinger and Carter. Why between Kissinger and Carter? Because Carter has promised to support the Jewish cause. Now look at it and let's see if it's between Kissinger and Carter. The Bible said in that day, in the day of the ten toes, is that right? Remember the image come up in the plains of Dura. Is that right? In the days of the ten toes that referred back to the image, is that right? Which is the governmental powers coming up. That the ten toes in that day, in the day that they came forth, that there would be a little stone hewed out of the mountain, not by hands. Is that right? All right, now, the Bible said that the clay and the iron would not mix. Carter is definitely Catholic. That goes back to iron. Check it out in history. The iron chariots, the iron spears, it's the nation that represents iron. Russia represents clay, which is the bodily part. They're not going to mix. Kissinger and Carter is not going to mix. They're going to try to work together to bring this world thing, but both of them will be working deceit in their heart because they will not mix. They will not mix together. And in the days of those ten toes, it was also the day when the little stone was hewed out of the mountain. How do you know that Stone Mountain up here is the place that we're speaking of? We spoke of this allegorically, is that right? Stone Mountain. We just got a paper the other day, the KKK, the Ku Klux Klans. They're waging war, or declaring war, on the black man. They're declaring war on anybody that fellowships a black man. They've called our leaders in Washington stupid, and I don't know what kind of name they got for Jimmy Carter and people like me. But they're bitter. Their paper is terrible. It is a bitter paper. And they have defined Kissinger's name as 666. They've got it in their paper showing his name is 666. But what they didn't look at was that the letter K is 6. Not only 6, but 66, 66, 66. And they're publishing the article from Stone Mountain. There's to be a great war, trouble, conflict among the people, all nations, nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom, among the black and among the white. That's why I told you that our people here need to come out of that. We need to get together as a brotherhood. Whether you're Japanese or Chinese or Caucasian or Negro, whatever you are, you need to come together in God and love one another. Because the devil's out there to get you. And whether it's white or whatever it is out there, German or whatnot, God's going to bump heads with heads till they're all gone. But the Klans have made the statement that every black person will be shipped out of America and that they will not rest until every one of them is forced to leave. In some country, they've already put that in force and they're actually putting the black men out. Now, which means that there is a type and a shadow here. Now, there's no need for Christians to be alarmed, whether you're black or whether you're white. And the black man would say, well, this will trouble me, Brother Pike. Well, don't feel bad, because there's a lot of things that would trouble the white man right now, too. And a lot of them want to put him out of commission, too. Now, so then don't worry about that. But I'm just trying to bring out something here. In the changeover, see, coming from Stone Mountain, it has to do with a power that is to rise up to wage war. Now, God suffers everything according to his will. It was in a vision that I saw the hooded men, the Ku Klux Klan, take me into a big cave to where I had to face Satan. And when he first appeared on the scene, it like to scare the life out of me. And then I braced myself, I turned around and I said, now wait a minute. The devil don't have any power over me. I'm a son of God. And I turned back and faced the devil. And you know, in the vision, the devil kept coming and I kept coming and he kept coming and I kept coming till I met him face to face and he blowed all to pieces like a bursted balloon. That's exactly the way the devil does. If the devil can bluff you, he'll bluff you. But if you turn around and look at the devil and say, I'm a son of God and you don't have any power over me, God has given me power over all the powers of the enemy, including death. The devil will run. He'll just turn around like a fox, tuck his tail between his legs, and there he'll go. You know, picking up a fox. Jesus called him a fox. That's all right. Now, so then, in the thing that we noticed concerning Maynard Jackson in Atlanta, Georgia, and I say this not to offend my black brethren here because they're very precious and dear to my heart. They're people that love God that stayed with us through this revelation. And I know that they won't get offended. I'm trying to bring something out because it does have not have anything to do with you brethren at all, nor Christian brethren anywhere. But Atlanta, Georgia, as far as I know, even among us, there's somebody that knows for a fact that that leader in Atlanta, Georgia, what's his name? Maynard Jackson, is a sodomite, as far as we know. It is no little wonder that he would declare Atlanta to be the city to be gay and give them a national holiday for what they're doing by doing what Maynard did in accepting the act of sodomy or the people that they say are gay. By doing this, we have learned that the national place or headquarters of sodomy, which was over in New York City, has shifted to Atlanta, Georgia, and Atlanta, Georgia is the national headquarters for people who are gay. You understand what I'm saying? God is going to burn Atlanta, not because of the black man's rule, whereas he's coming into power. Like I said, he can see it through Jimmy Carter. That's not the reason God's going to burn it, because he loves the black man as good as he does the white man. It doesn't make any difference to God who rules as long as God's in his heart. He'd rather have a black man ruling if he's got God in heart than to have a white man if a man ain't got God in his heart. God isn't, he don't care about people. He's concerned about Christ. You understand what I'm saying? All right, now, so God's no respect to person. But God's going to burn Atlanta, Georgia because of sodomy. The one sin that God will not permit is sodomy. The Bible said when the man burned in his lust, leaving the natural use of the woman, man with man, working that which is unseemly in the sight of God, it becomes a repulsive thing in the sight of God, and God will burn the world for it. Atlanta, as far as the black, is about 75% black in Atlanta, Georgia. The blacks have nothing to do with sodomy. The white men everywhere are guilty just like the black men. The leaders, even men in colleges, as principals, bankers, every kind of leading man, especially among the wealthy men, are making confessions of the sin. That was the last thing that Paul said would come about before the destruction of the world. God will burn Atlanta because of it. You know how I said that he would burn Atlanta? Then they published that little article, you know, fiddling while Rome burned. They had Maynard Jackson in there fiddling, little Caesar thing about his head. How do you remember that? How have you got time to listen on to it? Okay. I really need to listen, folks. This really, you really need to understand this tonight. I'm just talking with you out of my heart so you can understand. All right, now, in that Atlanta, Georgia has become the capital for that, it indicates Sodom and Gomorrah. You follow me? It indicates Sodom and Gomorrah. Satan caught up into the heavens, corrupted a part of the heavens. How do you know that? God's got to destroy a part of heaven because Satan corrupted it. Rose up, called the rebellion in heaven, and was cast out. And those that rebelled against God with him, which was a third part of heaven, was cast out with him. Which indicates the second heaven, which is the angelic realms. And God will have to destroy it. Now, New York City, being the New England states, is a typical thing of heaven. It's where the highest building in the world is. And I think Atlanta's got one about third highest now. We talked about Atlanta being Babylon, where all the nations would come together. You've seen that happen. New York City, if you notice this, New York was really the ruling power of Washington. That's right. The ruling power of the government. If the government's in the plains of Dura, Atlanta, Georgia will have control. Now watch what I'm saying. In New York City, when they went broke, what happened? The government shifted. The underworld shifted. Sodomy shifted. Why? It all runs along together. You follow me? It all runs along together. Why did it shift from New York over to Atlanta, Georgia? Because New York has to do with the heavenly part, New England states, having to do with Canada. Out of heaven, the third part of the stars went. That's why Atlanta is predominantly black, is because the black man represents two things. The Jewish people, in one perspective, that is, they that live holy in Christ. The evil powers of darkness, in the other perspective, where the white man represents two things. They that live right represent the light of Christ. Those that do not represent the brute beast that are made to be taken and burned, and not only represent it, but that's what they are. So then, when the stars in that Sodom and all the corruption was in the New England states, which is New York, it appeared to be the white man, because it was the regions or rims of light, reflectors. But when the reflectors goes out into the earth, then the black man types it, because it is no longer in the heavenly type where the white man that's in corruption types it, but it's in the earthly perspective, because the Jews are the head of the earthly nation. So it indicated the third part of the stars losing the reflection of light, coming out of the New England state, coming to Atlanta, Georgia. And when it came to Atlanta, Georgia, the light was gone and everything turned black. Gross darkness covering the people. Sodom and Gomorrah. In Atlanta, Georgia, seeing that there is a change of the government, there will be a war on between Kissinger and between Carter to have preeminence over the entire world. They will work one against another. And the 10 kingdoms, which is the common markets that we know of overseas, will take a power and preeminence by allying with that power, which is to be preeminent for a while. The Bible said God has put in these 10 kings' hearts to give their kingdom to the beast for a little season. Is that right? Now, how do you know that the beast are the brute beast? How do you know that the beast is those that are not sons of God? How do you know that? No matter what tribe or race, the nearest thing to a man, you've heard me preach it here, the image of the beast coming up, heading up in a Superman. Just give me just a little more time here and I'll close. I'm not even half through with what I want to say, but I'll try not to hold you and just get a few more thoughts here and bring out what I'm trying to say. So the battle laying between Carter and Kissinger, those 10 toes, those 10 nations, you know the revelation, how they revert back to the 10 commandments, how they go back to Calvary. We won't go in that because you know about it. These 10 toes coming up at this time. Now, you know that there's no shortage of fuel in America. There is no shortage of fuel. But yet America's declared a shortage of fuel. The communistic power was working through the common markets over there that they might bring the foreign trade into America, causing America to get panicked by messing up their traffic, changing the traffic laws, causing a state of confusion, causing a depression in the money, making it look like they didn't have much money, making it look like this fuel's running out. Everything to look like America was gone, that she might surrender to them through fear. The devil always works that way. The devil always captures his subject through fear. Is that right? If he can get you to believing that you're not healthy and you're not well and things are not right between you and your wife and husband and children and preach of the lie, anything to get you in bondage and fear, he'll do it. That's why Jesus said, fear not. Usually people that are overconfident in their own self or own ability usually are the ones that fall into that trap. Because the carnal mind is enmity with God, and Satan will get you out there in that overconfidence, and then down you go. You need to be, watch, pray, be careful, whatever you do. Now, in the thing that's taking place, America dropped into a Great Depression. I had the vision. And in this vision, I told you, I saw these poor people. And all the wealthy began to lose their homes, and all these things began to happen. And even some of our brethren here, some of us felt the impact of that depression. I made a statement concerning it when it would come back up and what would happen, and it did. Though it looked like it wouldn't, people didn't believe it. I said, when we have the meeting over here in Athens, it'll come back up. It did. It came back up. I said, when Antichrist comes, he will make craft to prosper. Look at Jimmy Carter. What's his plans right now? Already he's got everything laid out for the people, telling him how he's going to give them jobs, turn the government back in the hands of the people, and everything's going to prosper. Somebody said, oh, it won't ever do it. It will do it. It will do it. He'll come up with a little people. He'll cause craft to prosper. Everything is working into the Antichrist system right now. In this, it will be a great government. It'll be the best thing that ever happened to the people. It'll work so perfect in this world union and in the world money of a computerized number or system. And some of you remember how we brought it out through the Social Security card. How years ago I said they'd work it down, take the money, change the capital, do away with the gold, and then they'll have a government note. Which they did, it'd come into a card, come into a number, they got the honest face card, then into the computer, and I made the statement, I said it'd be first in headquarters in Washington, is that right? A world headquarters somewhere, then it'd fall into Washington, in the nations, in the different heads, and then it'd come down into the governors, which is still the head, and it'd come down into the sheriffs and the mayors and different things in the little cities, and then it'll come on down to the bank and come on down to the markets and come on down to the schools and come on down to the people. Is that right? And I made the statement, I said they'll do away with checks. It'll be an optional thing to begin with. They'll just ask you to do it. They wrote the letters, done it. I said then there'll be a constraint after they get enough of it to take control. And one of the ways that Antichrist would make craft to prosper, save the nation's hundreds and thousands of dollars, hundreds of thousands, by cutting down on all the printing, all the materials, all of the people that have to operate these things, on the postage, all the transactions. And the way that they would do it, that it would be a number that they would receive in their head or hand. And the people would miss it because they are looking for the number 666 when it is to head up under the number 666. That you will be given a number and it will be the number of a man. But it's to head up in 666. I made the statement that the people will not know when it comes about. A lot of people say, Brother Pike, you're wrong. I'm not wrong. You say, now, Brother Pike, you mean to tell me God's going to put this thing down on people and not even let them know so that they can reject it? He is not going to let them know. God is giving you your warning right now. He's warned you through preachers for years and years. He's told you it's coming. He told you to repent of your sins, and then you'd be a child of light and you'd know when it was coming. But he said, if you don't, it'll come upon you as a snare upon all of them that dwell on the earth, and ye will not know, Jesus said. It'll be just like everything else. It'll be an assessment. It'll be a command. It'll be a change, and you'll find yourself doing it just like you do all the rest. Eventually, you'll wind up with that number, I said, through the laser beam. It'll be that invisible number. Nobody can see until you walk under something like a scanner. Then that thing will be seen. And that computerized number working through a card system will eventually work over to your head and to your hand. Already they got it far enough along. It's called the honest face. That's getting pretty close to the head already. Already even Brother Beretta has got a card here and some of you others that he can just step outside the bank at night and drop it in there and get it. It'll tell him all about it. Is that right? They've already got the beast set up. When we came through Brussels and came through Europe, we saw the buildings, three stories of it over there at the 10 common markets. Over there, three stories of it. Got the computer. We talked to one of the authorities and he told us all about it. Now, that machine is called the beast. It is said that if anything gets wrong with it, nobody has to do anything. The beast, the machine itself, just calls somebody and says, this is wrong with me, you need to fix it, and here's what you need to do. And tells them exactly what's wrong with him, what to do to fix it, and what they need to do it with. One man can control the world through that machine. I said this before. I want to say it hurriedly, not to make it a long, drawn-out thing. Not only can he control the world through it, he's going to control the world through it. No human brain could control the world. But that super brain can control the world. Somebody said, well, I don't believe that's the beast, but just look at it for just a minute. I made a statement here a while back. Why is it that what they call the beast, three in one, typical of the Trinity God, why is it that it's over in Brussels at the very place where the 10 common markets is? Why did they pick that for a headquarters? Because the beast had 10 horns. Is that right? And God intended for it all to be there together to show that that's what it was. In that market system, folks, going down to the market, the first news you know, they will know exactly how much is in your bank account. I brought this out. They will know what's in your bank account down at the market. All it'll do is take one number to run it through. The computer will send it right from the bank right down to the market. They'll know exactly. They'll know whether you can afford the groceries or can't afford them. You can't buy or sell or operate in the world unless you go into the system. Because to be able to consolidate the kingdom, to be able to protect himself, Satan is going to force his subjects to come under something that will cause God to reject them. He knows when he brings them under that number, God will reject them, and he has no opposition. Then they can't be opposition because they can't go back to God once you take the number. So he's going to work it out to where he won't have any trouble. Nobody will be able to make war with him, the Bible said. He'll have control of everything on that computerized system. He can make a world government that will be perfect. If there's 1,000 people over here that needs 1,000 boxes of cereal, if there's 10,000 boxes of cereal in America, he knows exactly how many boxes, how many his subjects need over here. He can transfer it over here and leave just exactly the amount over here. Everything will be under the numerical order. I made the statement, it's gradually crept in. Look at your watch. Look when you buy a piece of meat. Everything is on scales. Everything is numbers, whether it's a tag, a number in the church. You tell time by number. There's nothing that you do that doesn't include numbers. All the children going to school are under numbers, under systems. Is that right? Everything is going under a number. How do you understand what I'm saying? You just check up the different things and see how many things is under a number, and you'll be shocked at it. See, all of it's going under a number to bring in the computerized system. And with that, I want you to notice this now. They'll do away with the checks. They'll do away with the money. And then with the computerized system, Washington will have all the wealth. That's all things common. The type of the church has communism. They'll have all the gold. No need for anybody to have anything. All the coverage, whatever they use. Won't be nothing but a government coverage. But they'll have every bit of that. And what they'll do is say there's no need to send you a check. You know, they'll stop sending the checks. No need to send you a check. Washington will computerize a number. Right on down to your state headquarters, they'll computerize a number. Right on down to the bank, and the bank will computerize a number. Right on down to the market, and you'll be the man with the number. That'll make all that system work for you. And that system they've already found will take 3 digits. It's got to be 666. They said that's the 3 digits that'll work. So then, in going back through that, there will be no printing of checks, no mailing of checks, Nobody to work those offices. Hundreds of thousands of dollars will be saved immediately just through the computerized number. You see what I'm saying? I know you don't follow me. But the banks will not send the government checks out anymore. Now watch and see if it don't stop. The first news you know, Washington will say there's no need to send it to the bank anymore. Right now they just said to let it come to the bank, you know. But they'll change it around. And the whole thing will completely come under the control of states to nations, and then all of the nations under the control of the great beast. Now, in that this is happening already. It's not something future. It's already happening. It's at the boiling point right now. Right now, people are gradually moving in under the beast. And I made the statement. I said that the church will be here in the first part of that. Look at Antichrist coming up with the small people. Look what Carter did. Is that right? Making craft to prosper. Is that right? Carter is fitting the bill in every way to bring in the Antichrist system. Coming up with the little people, making craft to prosper. Everything is fitting together just perfect, just exactly like God said. We'll be here through the first part. I said he would come in with flattery. Wasn't that what the Bible said of Antichrist? What did Carter do? Go from store to store with flattery. He flattered the black man and promised him everything but his shoes, so to speak. He flattered the Jew. Come on, folks. Every people he promised to do something for them or work with them or make them special and turn the government back. Just flattery, 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 flattery. Said he would come in with flattery. That's how he got in. Everything that was to be of Antichrist, it comes right back to show the Antichrist system coming in. But in this computerized system that the people are under at this time, are you already under the computerized system? Under this day, this very day, this very night, marks something great and outstanding. I'm going to have to cut it short here just to get in enough to clear what Father wants to say. Marks a great thing, because when the government changed from Washington over to Atlanta, Georgia, only the natural side of that went that way. That natural government is to shift over to the Jewish people, and the Jewish people are to become the head of the nation. At the change of the woman going out, the birth of the child, in between that time comes the Jimmy Carter administration that brings in the Antichrist, the tribulation period. That is a breach between the governments, which is from Washington over to Israel. Kissinger in that part, Carter over here, to breach the thing over to Israel, that Israel might become the head of the nation. She is prepared right now to become the head of the nation. Already she is bringing herself to that place to believe that she's the head of the nation. I need to just look at it just a minute. While as yet that is shifting over, that little dark spell of government comes in there between them, which is represented by the black man. Gross darkness covering the people to bring on the Antichrist system. Are you listening to me now? To bring it on, the changeover. It'll be a short-lived government. And then the crisis will fall. It'll be a sorrowful thing, a tragedy. Very sorrowful, very pitiful. But the changeover over to the Jews, who are the head of the nation, that will bring in the great leadership of God for the 1,000 years millennium reign. But in the meantime, the true government from Washington that has to do with the President Washington shifted over to little Bethlehem. Oh, no, you don't believe that. That is why that we have done what we've done in printing up the money. That is why we have the little bank building. That is why it has shown forth a government instead of a lot of churchianity. Somebody said this is a religion. Brother, this is a government. The Bible said the government shall be upon his shoulders. God's bringing a government. The earth is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God to set up a government on this present earth. Somebody said you're in politics. Brethren, we own politics, lock, stock, and barrel. The world and everything in it belongs to us. God is previewing the millennium government here in Little Bethlehem. This is a changeover. See, the natural is over, and the spiritual is coming in, which is the birth of the man-child, which is God's government. Upon his shoulders shall the government be. And Little Bethlehem is the one to carry it. When it goes out with the woman, that means the man-child is coming rule. Somebody said, you mean the baby? As quick as he's born, even a baby, he's still ruling. He's a man as a baby. So then, the government from Washington shifting over in the natural from America, the western world of the woman, back to Israel, the eastern perspective, for the seed is in the male's loins. From there came the seed of religion. Now the child is born. The bloodshed and travail to show it has been shown through the racial conflict and will continue to be shown. The child's caught up to the mind of God, sealed in, because he is to rule the world with this revelation. Like I said the other day, Brother Branham's seven virtues of the seven church ages and the steps coming up to be capstone with Jesus himself, the revelation. In this, the church age is being over. Even Brother Branham made the statement. Said there's not even the width of a knife blade between the ending of the church ages and the coming of Jesus. Is that right? There wasn't, because the revelation is the coming of Jesus. And now I'm digging around in the books of Brother Branham, they've learned that Brother Branham did believe that the rapture was a revelation. Said it would pass to the people. Now, there's just a lot that we could say here tonight, but I know that we haven't got time to say it, so I'm going to try to condense it just as much as I can to clarify my thoughts. If Israel is to become the head of the nations, that means that they will reject the peace pact that Kissinger, the others, bring about. When Carter, Kissinger, or whoever is in a power, a rule, sees Israel holding out on a world peace pact, they're going to be angry, and every nation will say, we're not going to let you keep us from world peace. And they're going to force them, and when they gather all nations in around Israel in the valley of Armageddon, we was over in Israel looking at it not too long ago, called the Valley of Fire. When they gather in to force Israel, that's the hour that Christ is going to set his feet on the Mount of Olivet, because he has finished with the Gentile church. He has sealed them in with the revelation as this goes forth. He is through with America, and the child that's caught up to the throne in the natural, will be the seed of David. He will sit on the seat of David, which is the throne in Israel, rising, being born here, caught up out of Zion, shall come forth the deliverer Israel, caught up here right over and set down on the throne of David, and in that rule with a rod of iron, and all nations will say, we have forgotten our God, let us go up and learn of his ways. The hill of God will hold the house of God, it'll be established, it'll be beautiful, all nations will flow through it. There, Jesus will rule with a rod of iron in the millennium on the throne of David, because America will be finished. The days of the Gentiles will be over. the fire, the brimstone, the bombing will come because the 10 toes has to do with the fire. Communism has to do with it. When Jimmy Carter rebels against the world peace that they're wanting to establish his own, then's going to come the fire upon Atlanta, Georgia. God is letting the Sodomites gather in Atlanta, Georgia, so that he can make an end of them like he did in Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, in that it will shift over there, that means that the spiritual government has gone somewhere. Where did it go? Where did it go? If it didn't come to little Bethlehem, where did it go? It's got to be somewhere in the world. It's here in my heart. The kingdom of God's in my heart. The saints of God shall rise and take the kingdom. Somebody said, what do you mean take the kingdom? Say the saints of God's had the kingdom all the time. Sure they've had it. But they've never accepted it. They've never recognized it. They've never accepted the benefits of what Christ did for them. To wit, the redemption of the body. Not waiting for it. It's already paid for. We've already been redeemed. But learn it. The revelation. Preach it. Understand it. Wit it. Accept it. And then declare that the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God. When are we going to declare that the kingdom of this world is the kingdom of our God? I'm declaring it right now. The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God. Amen. It's right. And the saints of God is rising up, taking the kingdom through this revelation, and they'll possess it forever and ever. This is a government, and the government of America is over, and now God's government has come into effect, and the natural government will shift over to the Jews. And if you don't believe that they'll subdue the kingdoms of this world and put it under the saints of God, just wait and see. Now me and you'll pray a prayer, but they'll drop a bomb. We'll say come and repent, but they'll shoot their brains out. Come on, folks. That's what God intends for them to do. Me and you'll say come on, but they'll dip their sword in their blood till it runs up to the horse's bridle. See, God's got a spiritual move against devils and demons, and God's got a natural move against human beings, bodies, and mankind. Every temple that's given itself to a devil shall be destroyed. You defile the temple of God, God will destroy it. And the way you defile it is letting the devil live in it. Unbelief. Not believing in the power, the deliverance, and the rescue of God. Not believing in the strength of God. Not believing what God said when he said, I'll give you power over all the powers of the enemy. Making excuses and wondering and worrying and being in frustration instead of standing up and saying, God said it, and that's the way it is. Jesus said, if you're weak, say I'm strong. Be strong in my mind. If you're sick, say I'm well. If you're dead, say I'm living. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, what makes me redeemed? Because I believe it. What makes me well? Because I believe it. What makes me a Christian? Because I believe it. Now I said, well, that makes the Baptists and everybody else. No, it don't. They don't believe it from their heart. They just practice it in their brain. But Jesus said, faith is in the heart. If thou canst believe from thine heart. Those people don't really believe in their heart they're right with God. They know better than that. There's something down here. They say, I'm a Christian. I love the Lord. Something says, you liar. That's right. Something in your own heart says, you liar. You know better than that. In the mess you're in, you're no Christian. Come on, folks. So then, as I said, the battle is between Carter and Kissinger. Atlanta's become the international city, the national headquarters for sodomy. Everything is set for God to burn them. There's a lot of things that's in connection with this that I can't bring out tonight that has to do with the white tent. It has to do with the rapture of the church. But I wanted to bring out enough to bring it around to little Bethlehem. This door out here finally and at last will go up out there on that vault. Because today marks the change, and today marks the beginning where that man-child rules with a rod of iron and little Bethlehem becoming the head of the spiritual operation of God. Here, Brother Walden marked the end of that cycle. Brother Perry and the others. And here, the revelation which is Christ himself, the capstone, which is the rapture, Coming, the mind of God Himself is the catching up to the throne. A lot of folks say, Brother Pike, you don't really think I'll ever believe you in heaven. Well, it doesn't matter where you think it or not. That ain't got nothing to do with it. I'm in there anyway. I'm right here in heaven. Jesus said, Nicodemus, I'm in heaven. I'm in heaven, folks. Now I said, well, I don't feel like I am. Well, you need to come up here. It's mighty nice around here where I'm at. The Bible said, God has translated me into the marvelous kingdom of my God. If God said, I've been translated into the kingdom of God, then I'm translated into the kingdom of God. Your reasoning has nothing to do with it. My reasoning has nothing to do with it. My worldly environment has nothing to do with it. What I see has nothing to do with it. God said, I'm there, and so I'm there. Now, so I am in the kingdom of God. I've been translated into the kingdom of God. I've been chosen out of the world. I'm not in the world. The Bible said you're not in the world and you're not of the world. I've chosen you out of the world. And I've hid you in with Christ in God. God is the Spirit. Where is Christ? The Bible said the heavens have received Him to the time of restitution of all things. I'm hid with Christ. Well, where is Christ? In heaven. Then where am I at? Where I am, my disciples be also. I'm in heaven. I'm in heaven. Now somebody said, well, Brother Pike, don't you know the body ain't redeemed? How can you be in heaven? The redemption of the body don't have nothing to do with being in heaven. That ain't got a thing to do with it. Somebody said, well, waiting for the redemption of the body. That's not Bible. The Bible teaches we're waiting to wit the redemption of our body. I'm not waiting for redemption of my body. Jesus redeemed my body at Calvary. He glorified me, justified me, sanctified me, predestinated me, raptured me, chose me out of the world, put me in heaven. All He's waiting for is for me to accept what He said about it. Somebody said, I don't believe that. That's why you're going to hell, because you're an unbeliever. God said for me to preach the word. That's what the word said. You said, but I don't believe it like that. It ain't got nothing to do with it. He said, but I ain't been taught it that way. That ain't got nothing to do with it either. I don't make no difference what you've been taught. It's what the Bible said. I don't care what my grandmother said, my daddy said, what they said back in the past, or what they'll say in the future. What the Bible said, that's what I believe. Now, is anybody here? Can you show me that that's not Bible? Come on, don't surmise at me. Don't find fault at me. Be a man, woman, stand up and prove to me that's not the word. You can't do it. So why do you think the thoughts you think? If you can't do it, you better get your thoughts right. Brother Branham said your thoughts speak louder in heaven than your words do on earth. See, if you can't prove it wrong, you better hold them devil thoughts. Come on, folks. Somebody said devil thoughts, devil thoughts. The carnal mind's enmity with God. Any thought against the word of God's a devil thought. How do you know the Bible said not to faint in your mind? That's where you faint at, in your thoughts. All right, so then the mind of Jesus Christ is in the church. The church has been caught up to the throne, the man child. You agree? How do you feel like you're at the throne? Sure, you're at the throne. That's why the Lord let these seven candlesticks be around you to represent it. I know this ain't the throne. I'm not crazy. This is just a natural pulpit that Atlee built. But this was built to signify the throne, my brothers and sisters, right here. That's what it has to do with. And so then, trying to close here with many things in my heart that I want to say, we have come right down to where today represents the new order of God in the earth. Now, it will not be effective in what I understand until this coming spring as far as a display or an exhibit of it. Even the president doesn't take over till the first of the year. Isn't that right? He's elected in, but he don't take over. So it's the same way. Today marks it. A great day. Great things. Things that I wish that I could tell you and share with you. But I thank you for listening to what I've already said. Some of you have been very patient. Some of you have been very restless. May God bless every one of you that's been patient, and God help every one of you that's been restless. But I love you. I'm not scolding you. I'm just saying that we need to be patient and be still. Know that He's God, to learn, folks. If folks can stay up all night long for Jimmy Carter to make a victory speech, that's right, and lift up his hand and say, I am now your leader, we will all go to hell together. Seemed to me like you could spend 2 or 3 hours to hear me say, I am your leader, we will all go to heaven together. Hallelujah. I appreciate that. I really appreciate that from my heart. I know that you're that kind of people. I just say things once in a while just to get you to get up and take the king. All right. I love you. You're my brothers and sisters. God bless you.
And what's happening out there has nothing to do with us here at Bethlehem as far as the troubles, the sorrows, and heartaches. I said this concerning my stand in God. I'm not brave. I'm not smart. I'm not intelligent. But rather than compromise my conviction that the black man is my brother, that the Japanese is my brother, that the German is my brother, and whosoever hath the Spirit of God is my brother, rather than compromise that, I had rather die. Now, when it comes right down to it, I might back up, I might run, I might say no. But as far as I know, I had rather die. I'd rather die than to compromise my conviction. So whether it's the KKK or whatever it might be, I feel that way about it. And I know we got some Ku Klux that's right close by. As a matter of fact, Jimmy used to be in them. And I believe Gilbert used to be in them. We got some right close by. I ain't calling them Ku Klux. But I mean, we got some right close by. And some of the people that's in the Ku Klux Klans are some fine people, but they just got mixed up in it. Now, as a matter of fact, they even asking people as small as 14 years old to join it. How many of you know that? 14 years old, you can get in the Ku Klux now. How many of you know that this tent meeting we had, that's where they burned the cross? Is that right? See, that had to do with something. All right, I want you to stand with me now. It's just so much I'd like to say to you tonight, but I don't dare to try to go on with it because you've been patient to listen this much, and I pieced a few little things together to where you can get some idea of what we're saying. This marks a great event. It indicates the church being sealed in, little Bethlehem being the head of the nation, because really, folks, the Jews is only going to be the natural head of the nation for the millennium, but we're going to be the head of the Jews. See, out of Zion comes forth the deliverer. The deliverer has to come out of Zion to turn on God's way from Jacob. They can't turn it away from themselves. It takes us in the things of God. Now, while they're playing on the piano here for just a minute in the organ, if you want prayer tonight, I know you're weary, but I know that some has come from prayer. And sometimes I don't pray for them. I put them off, and I feel bad about it. But if you want prayer, if you come down here, Satan's troubling you. You can get rid of troubling spirits, folks. You don't have to be troubled. Somebody said, but I'm so miserable. I'm so wretched. I'm so troubled. I'm so nervous. I'm so torn. But you don't have to be that way. Somebody said, well, I can't do anything about it. But that's where your trouble is. As long as you think that and believe that, you can't do nothing about it. But folks, the Bible said, and I'm preaching the word, and we're supposed to confess the word. Christ is the high priest of our confession. The word said, let not your heart be troubled. Now, if God said you don't let your heart be troubled, if your heart's troubled, then who's troubling it? You are. You say, but the devil is. The devil is by your permission. Your unbelief is permission to him to trouble you. But God said not to let it be troubled. You say, how can I stop it, Brother Pye? By faith. The preparation of man's hearts from God. Just have faith. The shield of faith will drive the devil off. All you got to do is resist the devil. Somebody said, I just can't get rid of the devil. Sure, you can get rid of the devil. The only reason you haven't got rid of him is because you keep telling him that you can't. That's like a man standing there, you know, and he keeps poking you in the nose and says, I just can't do nothing about it. I can't do nothing about it. Just keep your nose right there in front of his fist. All you got to do is get your nose out of the way of his fist. As long as you confess defeat, you're defeated. See, but God said we're not to think our own thoughts. Isn't that right? Don't lean to your own understanding. That's your own thoughts. That's a carnal mind. That's a reprobate mind. That thing believes a lie. You'll be damned. But think God's thoughts. Believe God's word. If God's word said, by his stripes you're healed, then you're healed. Isn't that right? If God's word said, behold, I give you power over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. That means death is conquered. Come on now. Come on. I'll destroy him that hath power over death. The Bible said death is the enemy of God. And I'll give you power over all the powers of the enemy. Sickness don't have any power over you. Demons don't have any power over you. Is that right? Any power that Satan has got over you is because of your unbelief. You're giving it to him. That can be for a lot of reasons. One thing is you may have a temper and you just don't want to get rid of the old devilish thing. Come on.
One reason you may have a jealous devil and you just don't want to get rid of him, because you kind of like to pet your flesh in the thoughts you think. Might have an old gossip devil, an old fault-finding devil, an old surmising devil. Is that right? You might have an old devil of suspicion, fault-finding, accusing. An old devil of lust. You don't have to have it. A lot of people want folks to feel sorry for them. If they come front and center in God, well, they can't do that and have folks feel sorry for them. They say, I don't feel good this morning. Boy, I got this and I got that and I got everything. And mama pets daddy and sister pets daddy and daddy pets mama, and you know, because they're so sick. They're so pulley. Folks, you can't have that kind of thing and still have the blessings of God. Now you got to look around and say, now wait a minute. I don't want nobody's sympathy. I don't want to sit down and die just to get somebody to rub my head while they're putting me in the casket. God, I'm well. I'm a Christian. I'm whole. I'm healthy. You said it. I believe it. Now, I know there's times when you might complain. That's normal. But don't become obsessed with complaining. Don't let it get the best of you. Shake the thing off. I know if you happen to bump your head on a door or on the end of something you met your wife with, that you're going to feel it. I know that. And I'm not trying to say that there ain't no real pain. Pain's real. Suffering's real. Devil's real. Heartaches is real. Nerve conditions are real. But I'm saying that sin is the inlet for the devil, and the devil is what does it all. Get rid of sin, you get rid of the devil. You say, "What? Where's Bible for that, Brother Pike?" Call together the elders of the church. Anybody be sick, let them lay hands on them. They've committed any sins, it shall be forgiven them. The prayer of faith shall save the sick. Is that right? God shall raise him up. A lot of people use that as a crutch. You know, I brought this out numbers of times. They say, well, when Jesus prayed for the person over here, you know, and he healed the person that was bowed together, and they said, who is responsible for this? You know, Job's miserable comforters. Nobody didn't see him. Nobody said she didn't. Nor her parents. Come on. Nobody didn't sin. So the devil said, you see, sin ain't even the cause of it anyway. God's just cruel. He just beats on people. He just bows people together, you know, just to see them bowed together. No, that ain't right, folks. There wasn't no sin till there wasn't no sickness till Eve sinned. That's where it got in. Jesus did not say that that case wasn't caused by sin. He just said it wasn't her sin or the parents' sin. But the Bible said God is the God that visits the iniquity of the fathers down upon the children of the third and fourth generation. Isn't that right? He didn't say it wasn't because of sin, because it was because of sin. But he said the condition is for the glory of God. God subjected man to vanity and hope. Everything that happens to man is for the glory of God, if man will overcome it. But God doesn't get any glory out of it if he doesn't rise up as a victor. Look at the case of Job just for a minute. This will help your faith. Somebody said, well, what about Job? Job never sinned. Then why did he say he did? He said to God, I've sinned, O Lord. Somebody said, but Job never sinned, and God just turned the devil loose on him. No, that wasn't it at all. Just look at it for a minute. I've said this to some of you, and some of you remember it. God blessed Job, raised Job up, gave Job everything he wanted. God wasn't angry with Job. God wasn't upset with Job. Job was doing the best he could. God had blessed Job's children. But one day God saw those wicked, wretched young'uns of Job. They had done grown up to be grown. They were out there pitching a drunken party. And God had to do something about it because God could not protect them by Job's prayers. They'd come to the age of accountability. And God knew that when he let the wind tear that house down and kill and destroy them wretched children, that it was going to break Job's heart because it was the closest thing to Job's heart. And he decided, since they were giving place to the devil to hurt Job, that he just turned the devil loose on Job once and for all and cleared the whole thing up to where the devil would never get back to him no more. Because he knew if he touched the apple of his eye, which was his own children, Job certainly wasn't going to cry more over losing camels and asses and sheep, houses and having a little sickness like he was his children. So the wind struck the house and the children was killed. And God said, just go on, Satan. He said, I'll prove my servant Job to you while you're at it. Go on, you've already hurt him anyway and tore him all to pieces. Go on, I'll show you that he don't serve me just because there's a hedge built around about him. And the Bible said that in all of Job's suffering, he never falsely accused God. The glory of God wasn't Job's suffering, though it was a likeness of Christ. But the glory of God was when Job said, though the skin worms devour my body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. For I, not another, but I shall stand in the latter day. That was for the glory of God. Amen. The faith and the testimony and the victory over the devil made the devil swallow hard, leaving God said, there is my servant Job. You see it? The Hebrew children said, put us in the fire. It don't make any difference. God don't save us, said, we'll trust him anyway. That's your victory that overcometh the world, the faith. I tell you what, I really feel God and I really feel faith. I feel so sorry for some of you, because I love you and I want to help you. And if I love you and want to help you, how much more does God love you and want to help you? Jesus loves you. He wants to help you. He wants to strengthen you. I made a statement today. Through Brother Branham's teaching, some of the men have got the wrong understanding. And they went around calling the women garbage cans. You ought to be ashamed of yourself to speak of your wife like that. A woman's no garbage can. She's one of the most precious things that God ever put on the earth. Neither does God think one iota of a man more than he does a woman. There's not one bit of difference between a man and a woman. They got some crazy idea that she's some kind of beast and they're some kind of God. God made man and woman equal. The only reason that God ever let Eve show her weakness and made woman weak was that two people can't dwell in the same house together unless one be weaker than the other. And God didn't want you to fight all the time. So he made one weak. He done that in animals. Somebody said, well, he done that because of woman's sin. Well, why did he do the animals that way? What kind of sin did they commit? Is that right? He made a weaker species in the animals. Wasn't no sin there. God made it for your good, my brother. She's not a garbage can. She's exactly equal with you. Somebody said, where do you get that? In Christ, there's neither male nor female. In the spirit, they're all as angels. Is that right? So then God wants you to love her. Somebody said, treat her like a garbage can. Can you love a garbage can like Christ loved the church? If she's a Christian woman, her price is far beyond that of rubies. Love her like Christ loved the church. Not beat her, knock her around, kill her. Step on her, call her filthy names. You love the Lord? Brother Branham was talking about a degraded person that wouldn't hold themselves up and be clean, try to be a wife. One that just throw themselves to the world, said she was like a garbage can. That's true. But how do you know a man's a garbage can too when he does that? The devil empties all of his garbage in him too. He's just as much a garbage can as she is. How do you know that the man is the woman to God? The woman's only a type of what you really are. So she's the garbage can, then you're the garbage can. All right, so then, let's rise up, folks, and take the kingdom for God. Let's be strong. Let's believe God. Let's claim our promises. When Jesus said it's finished, it's finished. That means you're justified, sanctified, glorified, without spot, wrinkle, or blemish, already translated into the kingdom of God, already caught up into heaven, hid with Christ. The body's already redeemed. All you got to do is accept it by faith, with it through the understanding of the revelation. Accept it by faith, and that is it. I say this again. Somebody said, DeWitt, what do you mean DeWitt, Brother Pye? Somebody said, the old gentleman's a witty old goat. Smart, crafty, understanding. Solomon said, God made man upright, but he sought out many witty inventions. Going back to knowledge. Somebody said, Brother Pike, it's my wit sins. Is that right? So then DeWitt is what I said it was. To understand, to come to the acknowledgement, to hear it preached. To know that God has finished it. So we're waiting for to wit the redemption. Folks, this is the time of the witting. It's done been exposed. It's done been preached. It's done been taught. Somebody said, well, the minister's there, Brother Pike, to make us perfect, to help us get rid of our spitting and chewing, huffing and a puffing. No, sir. How do you know that God saved you while you was huffing and a puffing? Come on. Oh, now somebody said, now, wait a minute, Brother Pike, you don't believe that. The Bible said it's not the putting away of the filth of the flesh. Come on. Somebody said, holiness? Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. Is that right? How do you understand what I'm saying? So then God loved you. Somebody said, because I served him. That ain't got nothing to do with it. Why come he loves Israel? Said Israel is the apple of his eye and she's been as contrary as anybody. Said never been anybody any more contrary than Israel. Somebody said, well, he forsook Israel and come to us because he knew that we loved him. No, sir. The Bible said Gentiles sought after the things of the world. Israel sought after God. That wasn't it. Then what? What is it? The Bible said if he so loved us while we were yet in our sins, that he was willing to nail his own son to Calvary to save you. By foreknowledge, he saved you while you was spitting, huffing, and a puffing. And sent the minister down there and said, you're my sons, don't be doing them kind of things. And the son said, oh my, I didn't know that I was doing wrong, Father. I'll never do that again. Said, I just got down here into hog pens and got mud all over me. I just didn't understand. So God said, well, we won't charge it to you. Go thy way and sin no more. Isn't that right? And he saw he come running up and he boo-hooed and cried. That's right. That's the way he does. Sons of God come, sons of Satan come too. He wept and he bawled. But see, there was no foreknowledge unto election. Isn't that right? The gifts are without repentance. God had not granted eternal life unto him, none spoke of him. Ye so have I hated for he was ever born. Judas let another's bishopric take. You know why? Because God saw when Esau got through bawling, he'd go back huffing and a puffing, a pouting and a spitting and a cussing. Come on. Done seen him sell his birthright for a morsel of bread. Oh, brother Jacob didn't steal that birthright. It belonged to him. That mother didn't pull no deceitful thing. God said, two nations is in thy womb, mother. The elder's going to serve the younger. That's why she sent him over there to get the birthright. Jacob didn't steal it. Esau done give it to him for a morsel of bread. You love the Lord? So then tonight you've got power, folks, of all the powers of the enemy. God hasn't subjected you to suffering for naught. He subjected you to suffering, not that suffering should have dominion over you. Let not sin reign in your mortal body. But he subjected you to suffering that he might build a faith in you that would translate your bodies. That's the only way he could do it. And make something out of dust into a god. That's the only way he could do it. Oh, you don't know how much he loves you. My, he never wanted you to suffer a day. But that's the only way he could do it. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, then I can just go on sinning. Sure. So I say, you mean I could just go on sinning? All that you want to sin is sin all you want to. Go right on, because you're going to hell anyway. Sons of God don't sin. The Bible said they're born of God. They can't sin. See, they have no want to. You understand what I'm saying? Like I said, what makes a thief? Somebody said because he stole the car. No, the car was just a manifestation of the fruits that was already in him. The nature, he was a thief, that's why he stole the car. Bearing fruits unto God, does that make us a Christian? No, because we are a Christian, we bear fruits. We can't do anything else, for we have our works and fruits unto holiness. We can't help it. Our nature's holy. People might look at us in a barren time of crisis, and say, well, I see that this is not an apple tree. But if they'll wait for our season, our fruit will come forth. We're still an apple tree. Just because you don't see the fruit, we're an apple tree. The fruits is a proof, my brother, to the world of your righteousness to God. That's your testimony. So then your fruits remain, that whatever you ask of him in his name, he'll give it to you. You understand what I'm saying? Let's sing a little chorus together. I love you and I appreciate you. So then the minister is not there to make you perfect. He can do no more than Christ has already done. You are perfect forever, justified, sanctified, glorified. Nobody can lay anything to your charge. But the minister is there to perfect your faith. That is to preach you the promises, to read you the benefits of your heavenly Father, to tell you who you are. And if you are a son of God, you will believe it if he tells it. That's your faith being perfected. And all the corruption will automatically drop off. Cleanse the inside of the platter. All the other will drop off. And you'll have your fruits unto holiness. You won't. Somebody said, Brother Pike, you preach predestination. Tell people that they're all right. Don't have to do nothing. Why, they'll go out there and sin sure enough. No, you preach the word. That's predestination. A man that's predestinated, all he can do is come to God, hear that word, accept it. God sends his spirit to seal him unto the redemption of the body, knowing he can't stand unless he has super strength. He don't seal the sinner. So then that person isn't going to go sin against God. How can he? He can't sin. Well, he has no desire to go sin against God because somebody told him he's predestinated. He's so thankfully saved from the flames of hell, he spends his life trying to be grateful to God, prove his gratefulness by doing everything he can to conform to the image. Them people that turn around and say, well, I'm predestinated, I ain't got nothing to worry about, go back to the evils of this world, them people are devils to begin with. The Bible said if they'd been of us, they'd no doubt continued with us, but they went out from us that it might be made manifest they were never of us. You love the Lord? All right, let's sing this little chorus together. I hope I've said a few things tonight that'll be beneficial to you, that'll help you. Make you stop and think. So many things I wanted to say concerning this. But remember, today is the beginning of a new day. A new government is coming in. The American government is now gone. And a new government. Carter will bring in, not an American government, he'll bring in a Jimmy Carter government. But here, this is God's government. It's upon your shoulders. Okay, let's sing a little close together. I need thee, oh, I need thee every hour. I need thee, I need thee now. Sweet Savior, oh, how I need thee. Sing it with me. I want thee, oh, I want thee. Can you close your eyes and lift your hands? Every hour I want thee, I want thee now, sweet Jesus. Oh, how I want thee. Let's sing it like this now. Oh, don't turn him away.
once again, oh, let him in to stay. Plead your cause on that eternal day. Oh, listen to my Savior and hear his sweet voice. Don't turn him away.
You know, God's doing something for this sister in this green coat right now. God's doing something for you, sister. He just spoke to my heart then that God's doing something for you. That's right. I felt the Spirit of God. I felt the Holy Ghost move in your behalf. I felt your faith go out to God. Isn't that wonderful? The anointing of the Lord will break the yoke. He loves us. Oh, how he loves us. He loves us so much. Forgetting those things that are behind, his mercies are new every day. Don't be troubled by yesterday. Remember, you're living today. Forgetting those things that are behind. God is so good. God is so good. Don't let a weight of yesterday hang on you. Remember, you're living today, and you've got grace for today. Grace for today. How wonderful, how precious, how wonderful you are in the sight of God. A human being is such a great thing. And Jesus said, the fall of that house, how great it is. When a human body is destroyed, done away with, Brother Sweden, it's such a great loss. A human being, something that can think, something that can see, something that can laugh, something that can walk, something that can talk, something that can make its own decision, a human being. I wonder if we can sing this little chorus, reach out and touch the Lord. Can we just for a few minutes more? Reach out and touch my Lord as he goes by. Find he's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. Oh, he's passing by this moment, your needs to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. I want you to lift your hands up with me now. And just before I ask Brother Taylor to come and dismiss us, I want to pray for you. Will you lift your hands with me? Just lift your hands up. If you've committed any sin, Jesus said, confess your sin, for he is faithful and just to forgive your sins. He knows your battles. He knows your trials. He knows just what you need. We sang the song, My Jesus Knows Just What I Need. He's a present help in the time of need. He wants to help you. I want to pray for you tonight, and I believe with my heart that you're going to get something from God. Today marks the time. Now has come power. The man-child's been caught up. Now has come strength. Now has come salvation. For the accuser of our brethren has been cast out that accused them night and day before God. So let's believe. Let's believe. Father, Lord of heaven, tonight, I ask in the name of Jesus tonight, Lord, as I stand here witnessing to these people of your great marvel in the earth, telling them of the great things of God that you shared with me in my heart, how great you are, Jesus. How mighty and great you are. And Lord, you give power unto your people. Hallelujah. Lord, you said, I give unto thee power. And God, and I feel that power tonight. I give unto thee power. Hallelujah. Father, we accept that power. Lord, in returning in the power of the Spirit, I give unto thee power. Lord, give unto these people power. May each one of them have power. Hallelujah. All power over the powers of the enemy. The race is not to the swift, Lord. Neither the battle to the strong. But God, you fought the devil at Calvary and you won the battle. And by faith, Lord, you said, be of good cheer, for you've overcome the world. And God, you overcome the world for us. And said our faith was our victory in the overcoming of it. In that we believe that you've overcome it, Lord. Lord, we don't have to struggle. We don't have to battle. We don't have to worry. The only wrestling against evil spirits and principalities and powers that we have, Lord, is to have our faith in your finished works. For you've given us power over all the powers of the enemy. Lord, and you said nothing would by any means hurt us. And God, you said, now has come power. Now has come power because I give unto thee power. In the recognition, in the winning of the redemption of the body through the finished works of Calvary. Father, that not only have you translated my spirit into the kingdom of God, but Father, you destroyed the devil. And Father, there is no Satan to us. There is no powers of evil to us. You've destroyed him forever, Father. And God is in the earth among those that are in the earth. And Father, we're in heaven. And he's been cast out. And dear God, the body that's unredeemed, that he's tormented, Lord, that's within the regions of the earth. Father, you said we had power over Satan. That you finished it at Calvary. And that our body was redeemed from sickness and Satan could not hurt it. That our body's redeemed from poverty and Satan could not bother it. Our body's redeemed from evil powers and oppression. Lord, from sadness. And Satan can't touch it unless we allow him to do it by unbelief. Lord, that our body's redeemed from sickness and death, Lord, by Calvary. And death can't touch us, Lord. The enemy cannot touch us. For he that is born of God sinneth not. Keep himself in the evil one, toucheth him not. And oh God, we are complete in thee, hold in thee, and we accept our redemption of the body, oh God. We accept it by faith, knowing that the rapture's here and the message has come. Father, we're caught up into the heavens. Lord, we've been chosen out of the world and away from the beast and evils of this world. And oh God, the minute that we can believe and accept it, Lord, that death hath no power. And the people will get up out of the graves, Jesus, because death can't hold them any longer. In that faith in our hearts has conquered death and accepted by accepting the finished works of Calvary. And oh Lord, with that you'll break the heavens, Lord, and greet us, hallelujah, in your redeemed body. Oh God, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, Father, when we've accepted this redemption, you'll do us like you did Enoch, and by faith we'll be translated into your presence in the body as we have in the spirit, God. Lord, we accept it tonight. I believe, Jesus, that you've done it at Calvary. And I know it's just a message to our understanding, God, just as it is when we speak to the people and tell them that they're healed. But God, if we try and try till we can believe it, then when it gets down into our heart, it becomes the power of faith and translation. Lord, and this body goes away as Enoch did. And Lord, we believe the message is here. May every person take it into the heart and mind to spread it among the people, for the coming is near. And oh God, may we accept the fact that our body's redeemed by Calvary, that we are glorified. And Father, we cannot be glorified unless we've been redeemed. and sang the song, Lord, I'm redeemed, I'm redeemed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you to sing this little chorus with me. Let's sing the chorus, I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed by love divine. Glory, glory, Christ is mine. All to Him I now resign.